want to tell you, this is Trish Long, and she's been at Catch the Fire for many years, and she serves on our prophetic team and many other areas, and she's just such an incredible support to people in the church, because Trish has worked in the area of social services for 23 years. So she's, in a very practical way, she helps us at Catch the Fire. She helps people. She does. She gives all kinds of direction, guidance for people that are in need, practical need, and, you know, for whatever certain times in their lives when they would have needs, she's able to help in that way. But she's also a pastor's daughter, and she's got an incredible testimony. And this morning, we just felt that it would be good for Trish to share this with you. So thank you, Trish.
Thank you. Well, thank you for having us. And it's interesting how God works, because patterns start to come up in church. And we don't, you know, people think that we consult together. People think that we consult together a lot of times, and sometimes we do, but a lot of times it's actually Holy Spirit just lining everything up. And that's what's been happening this morning. So I was asked to share a bit of my testimony because, as Lillian's already told you, I grew up in a Christian home. My father was a pastor, grew up Baptist, and as some of you may have figured out from my last name, and I know some people already here asked me about it, I am Steve Long's sister. And some of you also know my brother Richard Long. So I grew up not just in a pastor's home, but in a ministry family. My parents were missionaries, my entire family is immersed in church. And so, you know, most people would think, oh, that's great. Like, you've had a really, really great life. No. First of all, it's hard to be a pastor's kid. It's hard to be a missionary's kid. It's hard to be the sister of, you know, all of that stuff. And that's okay. But as a child growing up, what a lot of people don't know is that I'm one of six kids. And I am the only blonde-haired, blue-eyed child of six. They all look alike. They're all tall, dark hair, brown eyes. They're all really athletic. And then there's me. Literally. And I was sharing with Jack and Tammy last night, I had a sister who said that once to me. You know, had been introduced, and her comment was, well, when they said I didn't look like my siblings, she goes, yeah, well, there's us. And then there's Trish. And it was like this knife went into my heart. Because what my sister didn't know, and what I could not verbalize my entire childhood, was that I never belonged. That's how I felt in my heart. I don't belong. I don't belong anywhere I go. I don't belong in my home because I don't look like my family. In fact, I was convinced I was adopted. You know, I was really, really convinced I was adopted. Now, that was encouraged by my brother Stephen, who I have long forgiven. But if you knew my brother, he loved to torment me. And Richard, my other brother, was my defender. It was very strange. But I was absolutely in the depths of my being convinced that I was adopted. And nothing that my parents could tell me changed that thought. So I had this huge, huge orphan spirit, and I walked around like that. I didn't fit with my family. I would go to school, and I was the pastor's kid, and I didn't fit at school. I would go to church, and I was also the pastor's kid, with all kinds of rules and expectations and, you know, all of that stuff. And everywhere I went, I didn't fit. And so the lies that became just a part of who I was got bigger and bigger the older I got. And things that happened in my childhood, I didn't share this last night, but as a young child, I was abused by a member of one of my father's churches. And that was really hard, because that hits to the real depth of who you are as a person. And so all of those things started to become this identity of me just being a lost soul. And I really was lost. I knew what to do when I went to church. I knew how to pray. I knew what to say, when to say it, how to say it. I could have won an Academy Award. And people laugh when I say that, but I'm not joking. I was so good at doing everything that was expected of me, but none of it was real. Because all I felt was, I don't fit anywhere. No one really knows what's going on inside of me. Anyways, it got worse and worse. And the more my family got involved in ministry, the more confused I became. And by the time I was in my early 20s, I left church completely. I stopped going to church because I was like, you know what? I can't do this anymore. I can't pretend. I don't know what my faith is. I know what my family's faith is. I don't know what mine is. I don't even know who I am. The crazy thing was is that I was training to be a social worker, and here I am lost. I have no idea who I am or what I'm doing, but I'm training to help other people find out who they are and what they're supposed to do. That's a little crazy, isn't it? Anyways, I walked away from the church. I got married, and I found myself in an abusive marriage, and that was hard. And now I'm practicing social work, and my life is a complete mess. I've walked away from church, and my family, who hadn't yet come into where we are now, so very stuck in religiosity, I'm going to use that phrase, was furious with me. And I need to say that, like, I can't stress that enough. My mother is now back in Malawi as a missionary, and I've left the church. And I can say this because my mom and I have talked about this, and we've gone through so much healing, and we are incredibly close now. But I got hate mail from Malawi. How dare you walk away from the church? How dare you embarrass our family? How dare you do this? And that's what I got. So I'm struggling with who I am, and I got that from my family. So I got to the point in my life, 7 years after I've left the church, where my life is just in shambles. You know, I'm going to work every day, I'm helping people, but my home life is awful. I'm, you know, like I said, I was just so wrapped up in, I don't even know who I am. And one day, things just kind of exploded in my home and in my mind. And I went for a walk, and I had this favorite place that I would go just to get away from things. And it was in July. It was a super, super hot day. And I found this secluded area of the park that I loved. And I lay down in the grass. And what I did was I started to pray for the first time in 7 years. But my prayer wasn't, God, please help me. Now, my prayer was, God, please let me die. I was that desperate that all I wanted to do was die because I was an embarrassment. Now, thankfully, by this point, Stephen and Sandra and Richard and Terry, that's my brothers and their wives, had already encountered Holy Spirit, and I had been able to see them change. And so I knew that change was possible, but for me, I couldn't envision it. And I was still really far from God. Anyways, so I laid down, and I pleaded. It wasn't just a prayer. It was like begging, pleading, tears running down my face, asking God to let me die, because it would be easier. And in that moment, super hot day, no breeze, I felt this breeze come over my body, and that freaked me out. I thought I was going crazy. And I sat up. And my hair was long like it is now. There's nothing moving, not a single leaf, nothing moving. But my hair is flying back like this breeze is all over me. And it wasn't like a scary thing, although I thought, okay, maybe I'm now gone crazy. And so I laid back down because I didn't know what else to do. And I laid back down. And then what I felt was these hands touched my face on either side, just cup my face. And it was so gentle. And that's the moment I knew, oh my goodness, this is God. I had never, ever, ever encountered that before. I hadn't been raised that that's what God does. You know, God used to do it. That's what I'd been taught, but he no longer did it. And so here I am, and I'm having this encounter with God. And I'm miserable. I'm begging God to let me die, but instead he comes and he cups my face. And then, for the first time in my life, I heard the audible voice of God, and this is what he said to me. I'll never forget this. I did write it down, but it's etched in my mind. And what he said to me is, Patricia, now is not your time to die. I decide that. And he said, but it is time for you to come home. So I still get emotional when I talk about this. You know what? That day changed everything. Because I knew. I knew that God was real. I knew that he could come and touch people. I knew that he could come and speak to people. And all of a sudden, I went home, and my entire thinking changed, and God started to heal me. I would sneak into church. I didn't want my brother to know I was going to his church, you know, catch the fire. So literally, I would sneak in after the service had started, and I would leave before it ended because I was so broken that I just needed time to heal. And God kept coming and just flooding me and flooding me with the truth of who I was. And all of those lies that I used to believe just got broken off of me. So that's now a passion for me, obviously as a social worker, but obviously having lived a life of not knowing who I am and going through abusive situations, that can really destroy who you are and how you think and feel about yourself. And you can end up living a lie, but you wear it as a coat because that's what you know. That's what's comfortable. But that is also what keeps us from finding the truth about ourselves and from stepping into our destiny. And so I'm really, really passionate about that. I want people to discover the truth of who they are, to break off the lies, to break off false identities. And so that's why I was asked to share my story with you today, because, you know, every one of us, we've believed lies about ourselves. We've heard things that aren't true, and we've accepted them as truth. So I know that, you know, I just really want to encourage every single one of you that if you're struggling with that, and I know some people struggle with it a little bit and some people struggle with it a lot, but I just really want to encourage you that, you know what, God is the truth, and he does want to break off those lies. And if you guys will bear with me just a bit, a minute more, I'm going to read my part of my favorite psalm. And so I've got to get in here because I could read it in a bunch of different versions, but I prefer the Message version for this particular psalm. My favorite psalm in the Bible is Psalm 18 because it kind of describes my life. And so I'd encourage you, if you're struggling, like to come and maybe read it. And I love the Message version. I'm going to start at verse 16 because the first part talks about the fact, so I've got to take off my glasses to see you and then put them on to read. Because the first part of the Psalms talks about it, it's a Psalm of David. And it's actually when he's escaped from Saul. But everything is closing in on him. Like everything. It's just a total mess. And he is, now he's in a position, he's looking back on it and he's thanking God for it. And his description leading up to verse 16 is, first of all, is that when we are in the midst of things and we are stuck and we don't know where to go, we can cry out to God. And God gives us a private audience with him, the King of Kings. We get a private audience. And then when he hears what's going on, he sends all of heaven to our rescue. So that's what's happened before. And so I'm going to start with verse 16. And this is what God has done. But me, he caught. He reached all the way from sky to sea. He pulled me out of that ocean of hate, that enemy chaos, the void in which I was drowning. Now, when I first read this, I was like, oh my goodness, that was me. That's me. That's me. I was drowning. I was a mess. They hit me when I was down, but God stuck by me. He stood me up in a wide open field, and I stood there saved, surprised to be loved. God made my life complete when I placed all the pieces before him. When I got my act together, he gave me a fresh start. Now I'm alert to God's ways. I don't take God for granted. Every day I review the way he works. I try not to miss a trick. I feel put back together and I'm watching my step. God, and this is what I love, God rewrote the text of my life when I opened the book of my heart to his eyes. And it goes on and talks about how he then takes us and he leads us and he guides us. But you know what? I just really want to share that with you today because I think that there's some people here where you've been in that place and you're maybe in that place right now where you're just lost. And I just want to say God is going to come and he will rescue you. He will restore you. He can break off those lies. He can break off all of those false identity issues that you have. And you know what? I would love to be able to pray for you. And so I don't know if there's, like, I don't know how you want to do this now. Jacques, I'm going to pass it over because I don't want to interfere with the pattern.
Awesome. Why don't you take a seat for a minute? I also have something to share in the same way. I would like the team to